Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Yeah, there's a lot of information and things along with this laboratory. Do you guys want to spend some time looking around here? Do you want to move on? There's a door to the south.
I think Zamir would probably want to, you know, check out the lab.
Yeah, feel free to put yourself inside there, Miles. And there are, in the back of the lab, as you're sifting through the debris, maybe move a overturned desk. You see what looks like a grisly visage, that of a humanoid in a tattered lab coat, their flesh half eaten off of a what looks like a fairly fresh corpse. Not a lot of decay going on here. As you move them, you know, maybe kind of towards the center of the room, indeed, you can see they are well dead, and it is a gruesome. A lot of the soft palate and soft amounts of exterior flesh have been gnawed away by something.
Neat.
What would you like to do with Zamir?
So the body is, I mean, completely stripped, or do they have like clothing on?
There's tatters of what looks like a lab coat. Nothing identifying.
No, on no it. Pockets to rummage.
Pockets. I think maybe like a data small pad. Pouch underneath their body, and inside you find 2 tactical med patches.
Oh.
Yeah, those are, I'm pretty sure they're wanting them to be the new serums of the Starfinder 2E world. It's going to be hard for me not to say serum.
We should split those up.
Well, some of you have some already, so check your equipment.
Anything else of note in the lab?
In the room? Well, I mean, do you want to examine the corpse a little closer? You could do a medicine check.
Nature check. I will do a nature check. The 26.
That is a success. Indeed, it looks like this corpse was made within the last week, perhaps. You know, there's not a lot of other things that can break down a corpse in that time. So you see coagulated blood all over it, demarcating the time of death. But you also note that the wounds amongst this thing seem to have come from dozens and dozens of tiny insectile-like mandibles, like big old pinch marks of flesh kind of torn away.
Would Zamir be able to note whether or not it was swarm?
Do you want to take a look at some of the specimen boxes that are knocked around here, see if you can get more information?
Yeah. Yes.
What they were cooking up in this bio lab.
Did that be physical science?
Boy howdy. I think what they have here, crafting, survival, or thievery. To find out some more information.
Thievery. All right. Roll thievery, I guess.
Can I assist on the thievery roll? May not need to.
Miles, as always, is rolling straight rocks. You don't need
only when it doesn't really matter for my character's well-being.
Yeah, it's like here comes the initiative roll, and natural one. Your first save, natural one.
Miles, are your 3D dice turned on?
I have no idea. Probably not.
Less than zero idea about that. Right, so that is a success. You find dozens of boxes here, some of them destroyed, but all of them seem to hold some manner of flora or fauna, sample sizes for the most part. But you find only one of which of these many boxes. Most are smashed underfoot. But you find one that has, well, it looks like it was broken from the inside out. The inside of the sample box is clawed at, and indeed shows that perhaps this was something that got out itself, something that escaped confinement. It was the boxes, you know, destroyed, but putting it back together, it was about a foot square, so like a small size kind of creature, and it is simply labeled as sample 62. Sample 62. Bump, bump, bump.
I'm going to assume that there's no Xenowarden lore I can roll in order to find out whether that 62 has some sort of deeper meaning to the Xenowardens.
Nope, just a cool sci-fi number.
Would have been cooler if it was 47, but
sorry, Drew. Not everything can be 40 ish. Right, so that's about all you find in this room. Do you want to head down south towards the aft of the ship?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the next area here. Revealing it. This is another cargo bay. As you open it up here, you see a lot of equipment, survey gear, and what looks like the vestiges of a broken Porter drone lying on the ground. Its legs kind of still, you know, its servos twitching erratically, maybe a spark or two flying off of it. Badly damaged survey drone here. And yeah, not much else in this room that you see except another door leading a lot of boxes, you know, a lot of cargo here, but another door leading towards the interior of the ship on the starboard side of this room.
So there's no useful cargo in here?
I don't know. What do you define as useful?
Let's perception check, see what we can see.
You want to peekaboo around, open up some boxes, crack some boxes. Does anybody want to do anything else with this time besides searching?
Is there any sort of, I mean, have we seen any computers or biocomputers or like any sort of log sitting around anywhere?
Great question. I think you would know that this Porter drone would probably have some internal memory, maybe not tied to the ships, but would have to like connect to the ship at some point to like download new instructions and things like that. But if you've got a diagnostics kit, you can plug in to the remnants of this drone and make a computer's check to try and read its log book.
Okay, I will make a computer's check. Would it be computers or would it be nature?
This is mostly a technological creature. I think maybe.
Okay.
Maybe some of its chassis is like a more hardened, like steel wood.
Okay.
But sometimes it's just more ethical to make a robot do a job.
It's a 23?
Yes, that is a success. You get the diagnostics from like the last few minutes of this drone's functioning existence and see like engine rooms, port side, blunt trauma, attacked, blunt force, loss of limb, blunt force trauma, going offline. Seems like this thing was attacked inside this room itself. It looks like most of the functions of this drone you would have to get like a ton of replacement parts, but you are pretty sure that the core processor is still working. If you wanted to spend some time to try to repair it, you can, but it would probably only have like its mobility servos. So it'd be able to like scoot along, but that's about it.
Hey, sometimes something scooting along can entice something to attack.
Yeah. Well, it's about 10 minutes of work, and I'll let you make a computer's check while I tell Drew and /Navasi what we find here in the room.
25 for that check.
That's pretty good. And by pretty good, I mean good enough.
I'm actually angry at this like consecutive role I'm having for things that don't matter.
you've got a little robot friend, so I'd say that matters.
That's true. I will name him Tom Servo.
Little robot buddy. He comes up and just kind of blinks at you. And it's like, what? Why did you bring me back? No.
For fun.
I can't talk. This was just for jokes. Navasi, if you and the rest of the folks want to sort through the boxes here, it's a lot of materials and things like that. Nothing commercial grade items, but you do find 200 feet of cable line, an auto grappler, which I think it's like a grapple gun kind of thing.
Could have used that to catch the ship.
Yeah, but now you have it. And there's also a commercial.
Navasi calls dibs.
There's a commercial anti-grav harness as well, which I think is an armor upgrade, but I will. It's a magic item. It's a level 6 magic item. The anti-grav harness is a convoluted web of synthweave straps. Ooh, it's a Magitek. Synthweave straps worn as fashion statements in many a Xenowarden subculture. You get a +1 bonus to acrobatics checks when and you aren't off guard or clumsy while you are untethered in the zero G. And as an action, you can treat gravity as being one step higher or lower than it actually is where you are right now.
That's pretty cool.
It lasts until the end of your next turn. So you can basically like whomp, hit the button on your chest and treat normal gravity as light gravity, which means I think you could jump and maybe move faster. Does anybody want this? Like, wants to put it on and invest in it?
I do, but I feel like Day being able to move around, and can Day get up and fly like Alindra can, or like move up and stuff? No.
Okay, nope.
Never mind.
You can take it if you want, Drew. Pretty good at acrobatics yourself, right?
Yeah, I would like that.
Sure. So you put in these kind of synth weave straps all over your armor. You strap it in.
Yeah, let me make sure I can, because I've got a bunch of...
Yeah, so long as you don't have a bunch of other magic items, I think you're good to go. Does anybody want the auto grappler?
I mean, I really wanted that, but I feel like I'm going to feel guilty if I take both things.
Yeah, so the auto grappler is basically like, you know, Batman the Animated Series style grappling hook.
I mean, basically, yes. You can attach this anchoring device to a cable line with an interact action. Clamps automatically slide from the base to along the attached cable, allowing you... it to be climbed like knotted rope. You can throw it to a solid surface, attempting a range attack, and yeah, then climb up.
Yeah, I want that.
Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. And you can use the cable line that you found along with it as well. But pretty,
heck yeah, pretty
simple. Okay. All right. So that's, you've got a robot out of the deal. It boots up again and will follow you around.
I'm collecting pieces to become a superhero, I think, at this point. I've got a little robot buddy.
Is the robot like, named Robin?
Exactly.
Good. Yellow. There we go.
To the Zemir Cave.
Okay. All right. So do you want to head through the next door, which looks like it is our starboard bulkhead leading towards the center of the ship? Vwom, vwom, vwom. Noise overtakes you here as indeed you get the background hum of a very large engine room. This was clearly once a marvel of biomechanical engineering. It's got a high-speed drift engine, four very sleek-looking workstations in this room. There's state-of-the-art biomechanical interfaces for each of them. Plush down chairs just grown from leaf fronds and flower petals. Look very comfortable. But right now, the engine room is a mess. The front panel is torn off of the broken drift engine. Tools are scattered around the floor, dozens of tools. And something has taken bites out of the chairs and some of the other biomass aspects of this room. The ground near the forward doors here, the ones towards the north of the room, are coated in what looks like a sticky-looking slime, which trails through the open doors here to the midship. So these doors here to the north are actually open, and you can actually, I'll reveal a little bit of what you can see from there and the ship above through the doors. Yeah, through these doors, midship looks entirely coated in a thick layer of slime and pulsing organic masses. Amid these, you see alien green sacks, amongst them crawling along the ground, grub-like creatures with oddly humanoid bone faceplates, each engorged in nearly a foot in length. So it's like a carpet of mossy-looking bug-like grubs. There's movement in the distance that indeed indicates that there's likely additional grubs in adjoining chambers, this room. That is what you see here. There's also a couple... There's a door to the starboard... Nope. Yes, the starboard side of this room.
Do we have a flamethrower?
Would be nice. You left Obaziah back sleeping on the ship, unfortunately. Obaziah and Chick-Chick are also members of the overall crew, but they're down for the count. They were up late last night, you know.
Can we have Tom Servo take a look around first?
Yeah. Do you want to move forward and kind of...
Can Tom Servo do it?
Yeah. I mean, you want to get a good view to where you can see the robot as well?
That's fine.
Into the chamber. You want to send it north through these double doors?
Yes.
Great.
We don't want to search.
I don't know what happens.
We don't want to search starboard first?
It doesn't sound like it.
It doesn't matter to me.
mean, I feel like Navasi wants to search starboard.
Yeah, well, the Navasi is more than welcome.
Split the party. Split the party. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, Navasi is going to go to the starboard.
By herself?
She's going to peek through the door.
I'm just kidding, but this is exciting. All right, let's see.
We're peeking.
Indeed, as you send Robin the robot forward, Tom Servo, you see indeed these things kind of squirming all along the ground, along these egg sacs. Navasi opens up the starboard cargo bay door and see a number of boxes and crates here, as well as what looks like perhaps it's a little bit more orderly than the other room. It looks like some kind of creature traipsed through and destroyed the robot. And you see assorted sundries amongst a work table in the back here, Drew. And then there's another set of biomechanical. There's a door here on the north side of the chamber. Okay. Let me read through midship. Let's tell you what Tom Servo sees as the robot goes in here. Maybe turns on a small light that kind of like flickers horror movie style because it's like half broken. And as it does, maybe some of these little grubs on the ground kind of react and scurry out of the way. This large chamber here is coated top to bottom, floor to ceiling with a slimy effluence spotted with pulsing growths amongst the walls, the bulkheads here. Each of them the size of a Brutaris ball. These grub-like creatures, as you get a good look at them, have very large mandibles, like bone-like mandibles, with what disturbingly looks like a humanoid skull. And they writhe amongst these alien egg sacs. Let me show you what the grubs look like.
Oh, you really don't have to. It's fine.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I got it. I got the art right here. Grubs. I don't want no grubs. Grub is a alien insect. It can't get no love from me. Rubbing along its egg sac side of its best grub friend's hide, trying to gnaw on me. I don't want no grubs. I'm gonna keep going. Someone say something. Dear God, stop me. Right.
No.
I don't want two. No grubs.
No, I reach into my backpack and I pull out my incendiary grenade. I throw it at Patrick.
Dave starts a backbeat for your song.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Rebecca's being
encouraging
helpful
it.
Here.
Oh, thank you yes. so much. Two different kinds of reactions.
Do I get a hero point for that?
No.
Not that I'd use it. It's fine. I have nothing to do here.
No, you got plenty to do because I'm going to ask you guys to roll some initiative rolls for me.
Great.
Into the initiative turn order.
I don't think Navasi can do that.
Zamir, you can. I'm sure perception's pretty good for you, but since you are piloting this robot, you can roll computers if you want. I don't know what's better.
Okie doke. So I can roll computers as opposed to
perception. Whatever.
Oh, perception.
Better bonuses. You can.
Actually, it'll be perception.
Okay.
Oh, actually, it doesn't matter. They're about the same. So 26.
Excellent. We got Day. We got Isef. We got Navasi. Can you? Oh. Nope, I can add Zamir in with that 26. Just click on initiative next time, Miles.
Oh, sorry.
It's quite all right. New character sheet-ish. What did old Patrick get for his hatchling swarms? But not that kind of swarm. A different kind of swarm. Oh, I've rolled pretty well as well. But not good enough, Zamir. You see the masses of worms begin to pile over one another, swarming in like a ball of fury, like a rat king almost, their tails kind of entwining. So you see these two large masses of worms forming up. That is what you see here on the map. I've depicted as two large squares. Mm-hmm. You have beat them in the initiative turn order. What would you like to do?
Is that Zamir that's got it or the robot?
Well, you are controlling the robot. So it is you're first in turn order. If you want to spend an action, you can move Tom Servo, move it out of there. But you also have three total actions.
OK, does Tom Servo have any offensive capabilities?
Unfortunately, no. Maybe when it had its arms.
OK, but it's
mostly
also,
destroyed.
Where is my token?
Right here, right underneath the day.
Oh, why is... Okay, that's why. Okay, so can Tom Servo, I don't know, like expose some wiring to electrocute one of them? Oh, yeah, didn't have an arm, so he can't really do anything, can he? Does he Tom have Servo. Like an alarm system that can like warn everyone else?
No, Tom Servo's mostly just a robot chassis on like wheels at this point. If you want to save Tom Servo, I'd recommend moving it out of the
Tom Servo is going to boot scoot and boogie.
Okay, that's only one action though to do that. What would you like to do? You got two more actions.
Are those doors open that Tom Servo just left out of?
They are. These double doors are open.
All right. Then I am going for them. I'm going to use the Grim Tendrils.
Ooh. Walk us through this spell. What does it do?
All right. So tendrils of darkness curl out from your fingertips and race through the air. You deal 2d4 void damage and 1 persistent bleed damage to living creatures in the line. Each living creature must attempt a fortitude save. If you fail, you take half the void damage and no bleed.
Yes. And I believe this is a 30-foot line, but it doesn't have to be drawn from you. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
Jabert, maybe you can back me up here. Straight line from you, right?
I don't think so.
No, it's got to be a straight line from you because there's no other range from it. So from where you are, you can hit one of these two swarms.
Yes, that's fine. I'm going to hit the one on my left. Yeah.
Okay. So the tendril will require a fortitude save, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I got for fortitude? Anything good? This swarm? Anything good? Not their best, not their worst. It's to hear. Okay. I rolled a 6, which I'm pretty sure is going to be just a fail.
Yes. So
Grim Tendrils is your Zamir's like focus spell. So I think it's automatically heightened at this level is 6d4 void damage. Is that right? Oh boy.
What?
6d4.
Okay.
They're taking all this. It's level 5, remind you. So.
Oh, that's right.
So it's heightened twice, I'm pretty sure.
So it's 13 void damage, and then you get it's still just 1 persistent bleed damage.
No, that goes up as well, I think, to 3 persistent bleed damage.
All right, so then, it's total of 16 damage, I guess.
Full damage, full persistent damage. In addition to that, I'm just guessing that this is going to do more damage because it is an area effect. Yeah, lines count as area damage, so it's actually taking a little bit more. This swarm on the left. Okay, you see the dark negative energy tendrils that Zamir kind of hits the ground and a big line of spiky darkness shoots up. You see these tendrils wrap around about half a dozen of these creatures, and just start tearing them in half. Maybe like tries to pull them through the hull of the ship, and they just like pop like little zits. And maybe the halves that are left behind are still squirming in the mass here, but took a good amount of damage. I actually didn't check how many hit points these have in total. That is enough to destroy about half of the ones in this left swarm over here.
Pretty good.
It's not bad. Unfortunately, I have rolled very high on my initiative roll, which means these things are going next.
Oh, no.
They are going to start swarming like they do.
Well, brought this upon myself.
I should have said when I rolled initiative that I was going into Photon Attunement.
That's fine.
Apologies.
That is fine. So the first swarm is going to, just the one that's nearly destroyed, just make its way into this chamber here. The ones that are surviving, maybe they're dragging along some of their half destroyed brood mates with them. And they are going to let out an ear-piercing cacophony of shrieks and screeches as they come. I need everyone to make a reflex save. Okay, yeah. It is a sonic chorus ability. It is a reflex save, to basic reflex save to get out of danger's way. Okay, we're off to a good start. Isef has critically succeeded with a 31.
Oh, gosh.
Day has failed with a 16.
Is that a critical failure?
Oh, no.
No, but Miles did not disappoint. A critical failure for Zamir. Why did you have to say it earlier in the episode?
We knew it was going to happen. We knew this was going to happen. I was rolling too well.
Well, you do have a space hero point. If you want to re-roll that.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Without knowing, I would like to use my confident actualization where I roll twice and then take the better of the two. This is a once per day ability.
Cool. All right, go for it. All right. Yeah, we're back on save for Zamir with a 22 and unfortunately still a fail for Nabossi. So we got two fails, one success, one critical success, and this is a lot of sonic damage coming at the party. Boop. 5d6, it is a total of 17 points, so Zamir is only taking 8 of that, and everyone else, 17. Isef just closes off their ear ports. Don't gotta worry about that.
And I still had my headphones in from all the partying we were doing on the ship.
Oh, yeah.
We're listening to all that loud music because I put in my safety headphones.
And the other swarm is going to move up on Day and Zamir and just start biting both of you. Can you each make me a basic reflex save? Day and Zamir.
Basic reflex?
Yep. Okay, we got a 21 from Day and a 30 from Zamir. Unfortunately,
baby.
Good news and bad news. These are both just saves. 21 and 31.
Hopefully it
gives you some information about the DC you're trying to hit here. But yeah, the good news is this is only 2d8 damage. So you
both Hold on. I have Nimbus Surge, which means the triggering creature takes 1 fire damage.
Oh no. Well, I would say that's no problem, but this thing, as your Nimbus goes off, as this thing bites you, there's a spark of flame, and then it kind of swallows the solar energy, and then you just see it explode like a, like a poodle in a microwave. Just whoop, seems to be a little weak to that fire damage.
Grotesque. Okay.
Yeah, well, you did it. So
that would be a huge microwave. Golly.
Oh, these things are small. They're
sorry, how much damage did I take?
Or? I'm saying poodles are huge.
Toy poodle. How about that, Dre?
Ah.
just work with the
you gotta be specific. Injury.
It's our Halloween week episode. Sorry, Rebecca. What did you say?
How much damage did Day take?
Day and Zamir, you're both taking 5 points, half of 10 that I rolled. And this one had to move twice to get in this position, which means we are done with these guys' turn. And we're on to Isef.
Oh, boy. Let's see. They are both very close together to each other. I'm indeed going to reach into my pack and draw my commercial incendiary grenade.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Instead of making an attack roll, choose a target area within 30 feet. All creatures in a 5-foot burst take 1d8 fire damage with a basic reflex save. So I'll just put it right there, right in between those two. And
this is only a tactical
commercial, I guess, is the level.
I was a higher level for some reason.
I don't know. I have like other tactical stuff, but most of my gear is commercial.
Well, this is a little confused. The commercial and the tactical are both 1d8. Okay. That's what it was. But it is only 5 foot, but it doesn't matter because this is a swarm. Okay. Grenade and heck. I honestly don't know how grenades work in Starfinder 2E.
I think just a basic reflex save and then.
Oh, they were probably like alchemist bombs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay. Reflex is these little critters' best save, but I'm guessing. Okay, what is your class DC for Isef?
That's a great question.
At the bottom of like the main character sheet.
So like I don't have my proficiency marked here, so it's just 12, I guess.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure you are.
Should I be at least trained or?
Yeah, Let me look at your character sheet on the PDF. What does it says 21 here. So
okay, yeah, I was gonna trained, and then yeah, I also had strength selected as the thing.
Nice. I've rolled a fail. I've rolled a 6 on reflex, so they're taking the full D8 damage, and I can tell you, taking more than that.
Wait, so I was trying to.
Oh yeah, this will hit both of them.
Okay, right? Okay. Yeah.
So let me roll for the other one.
And I'll roll my
far one. The far one has succeeded, right? Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, 1 point of damage.
1 point of damage.
Well, I mean, if it makes you feel better, they're still taking a ton of it.
That's because
they got some weakness, area damage, and or splash damage. This does not do any splash damage, right?
It's just a 5 foot burst. So.
Yeah, 5 foot bursts of fire damage. So yeah. They are still taking a goody amount here to both of them. And you have a third action, technically, I believe.
Yeah, well, but unfortunately, I don't have a lot of good stuff to do with my... I got like guns and stuff. I don't know if I can shoot these things, but I can sure try. So I pull out my pistol, and I guess I draw my pistol as an action. So
okay,
yeah,
and that will take us to Day's turn. Rebecca,
sorry, I'm just realizing my character sheet is completely incorrect.
Is it?
Yeah, there's a lot that's wrong.
Oh, well, why don't you complain to the creator of the character sheet? Talking about Rebecca, how dare you.
Okay.
Right. You might be looking at the wrong character sheet, because I see you've rolled the initiative order as copy of Day. Let me make sure you have access to the level 5 character, because that could be a problem.
It says level 5, but
no, I'm maybe. Why did you describe to me what's wrong? What's wrong with it? What's so bad? What did I do so bad?
Tailwind is not a feat, it's a spell.
Yeah. It's given to you by an ancestry feat, Rebecca. So that's why I put it in that.
No,
area.
It's a spell.
Yeah, that you get from being a Patra.
No, right. That's not what it looks like. I'm looking at the character sheet, and it's not how it is characterized. It is a spell that I have to cast.
Yeah, it's an ancestral feat that gives you access to the spell. Okay, I'm sorry I didn't put it in the spell area and confuse you why you only have one spell in the entire character. What else is so wrong about this character sheet, Rebecca? Oh, I swear to God. I'm sure there are actually things wrong. I want to know.
No, I'm just like not sure about any of it. It shattered my confidence.
Well, like I said, a lot of the I did copy the level 1 characters that we created already and added in, you know, the additional stuff they got in the preceding 4 levels before this. But for the most part, you just type in, you go from like level 1 to level 5, and it like updates a ton of stuff automatically. So
All right. Given that I am photon attuned and this guy's like on top of me, right? I guess I'll strike at it.
Dozens of grubs all around you, yes.
Oh, are these like swarm rules or something?
They are indeed, yes.
Great. Fun.
I thought so when I described it as such several times.
Sorry, I was distracted by my character sheet being completely incorrect.
Oh my God, stop saying it's completely incorrect. I just looked at it again and I'm like, oh no, she's crazy. Name one other thing wrong with it. We're going through this now live on air. We're stopping combat. One more thing that's wrong
with
it.
Trying to make sense of it. All right, I am going to move by 5 feet and supernova. Because I think that will do something.
Okay, right? This long to come up with a supernova.
Yes. I am going to choose a 15 foot. Oh, wait. I need to back up. Can I be here in the doorway?
Yeah, I think so. It's open.
And reach just the enemies and not my friends?
Well, I mean, it'll hit everything within 15 feet, which would be the robot Tom Servo as well.
Oh.
And Zamir, it looks like. Do you want to step further into the midship section with all the creepy
eggs? If I step back, like back here.
Yep, I believe that will get Zamir and Tom Servo out.
All right, out. I will do that, and here goes.
Two-action supernova. So this is going to be...
1d8.
No, it's for the 15-foot option, 3d6 at this level, because this also upgrades with your level. So I need to make...
So confusing. What? That's not what my character sheet says.
Well, it says at the bottom there, level plus one. We're fifth level, so it goes up to basically being like, you know, every two levels you increase the damage by d8 for the... Oh, no, the 15-foot version is
the d8. For the 30-foot, but for the 15... Yeah.
So this will be 3d8, and I need to make a fortitude save? No.
Yes, fortitude save against my class DC, which is 21.
Two fortitude saves. Let me roll those. Ooh, it was almost a one there. But natural 3 is going to be a fail. Now 13 is going to be a success. It's 21. Ooh, it's good. Good damage.
18 damage normally.
Yeah.
So 9 on the half.
So the first one takes a big blast, the one that's still on Zamir, and it absolutely obliterates that swarm. And this one that took half damage is taken 9, but actually 14, just enough to destroy that swarm as well. Woo! But yes, as your Nimbus lights up this mid-chamber, you see dozens and dozens of more hatchlings in adjacent rooms that cry out as they hear the death of their swarm mates, and your Nimbus alights this goop that's on the ground, which begins to burn almost like it's made out of petrol. And we close out this week's episode watching Day engulfed in flames in the midsection as their fiery Nimbus lights up the darkened blue midship section covered in alien specimens and creepy egg sacs and dead bugs. And we will continue this adventure on the next week's episode.
Gotcha. I'm glad I could do something besides just play music. It was great music, though.
I'm going to double check the rules. I think you might actually be on fire because of this. Because you stepped in like petroleum jelly, KY jelly, and lit it on fire. Guys, this is like that movie Prometheus. I think you mentioned it. It's just like Prometheus.
It's like a Prometheus.
I haven't seen it.
Full on Prometheus.
But also, I didn't get to act in combat, so I'm just hanging out.
I'm so sorry. Your friends are very good at area effect damage, apparently.
Don't worry, Captain. We got you.
It's a far cry from how we are in our main game.
That's what you get for walking into the other room, Drew. But yeah, you know what, Drew? Because you didn't get to act, I will say Navasi is able to search that room pretty quickly, and you find an advanced tank of petrol, an advanced incendiary grenade, which is why I was confused. I was looking at that on my screen. A hacking toolkit and an infiltrator's toolkit, as well as a tactical radiation buffer. And you guys can look at all that stuff between this time and when we play next.
Does anyone have a fire extinguisher? Because that seems to be what I need.
That would be very useful right now.
I'm going to tell you, stop, drop, and roll was what I was taught very early in my life. And I
feel like petroleum jelly?
Not typical inside of a gas
tank. I know
when it's on fire.
Okay,
the jelly.
So I have to. So petroleum jelly, as I know it, is just Vaseline. And I also know Vaseline to not be particularly flammable. So.
Have you ever tried?
I have tried. When I was a kid, my friends and I carved open a tennis ball, stuffed it with Vaseline, aka petroleum jelly, and tried to light it on fire and throw it like a grenade, and it did not catch. Ew. Now, maybe we were doing it wrong because we were literal children. So,
chemistry is dumb and I hate it now.
That's fair.
Because he wasn't able to make a napalm tennis ball.
Because
a 12-year-old.
Because a 12-year-old wasn't able to ignite himself on fire.
Yeah. Chemistry sucks.
Chemistry's boring.
We have more knockoff Ridley Scott aliens like surprises next time we play. And surprise, surprise, next time we play, Miles is going to be Disney World. So we're getting Tyler. So sorry, everybody.
Yay.
Was it me? Oh, going back to literally shit? Switch us out. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he'll come back for the climax.
Zamir was
gold. Do-si-do it.
Yeah, yeah. Zamir's got to study sample 62 back on the overhaul, and you bring out the big guns. So that's gonna do it for this week's episode of Starfinder Second Edition Playtest. Thank you guys for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Listeners, thanks for listening. We will catch you on next week's episode. So long, everyone.
Good night.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.